Hello, everyone. Welcome to Isaka Live. I'm Isaka CEO David Samuelson, and I'm excited today to introduce you to the newest member of our leadership team, someone I hope you may already know, Chris Dimitriadis. And you may know Chris because he's a longtime Isaka member and volunteer, I think 20 years, if I'm not mistaken, Chris. And he served two terms as Isaka board chair from 2015 to 2017. And I, for one, am thrilled to have Chris join the senior team and glad you're here. Glad you can join us. Chris, do you want to say hi?
Absolutely. Hello, everybody. I'm really thrilled to have this live session with you, David, and also to address our global community through this session. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're coming from. And I'm really looking forward to the discussion.
Right. I see someone from Jordan and Bahrain and where else? It's great to see all of you from India and from New York and from Colombia. We're really covering the globe here. From the UK and from Johannesburg, where I have been. I've been to many of these places, so nice to see you. I'm especially glad to see all of you joining from around the globe. As I said, Chris is hired as the Chief Global Strategy Officer, which is a new position for Isaka. And the reason it's important for us is because we want to do a much better job at being a truly global organization. Isaka is a global organization, but because we've been headquartered in the U.S., sometimes I think we feel a little too U.S.-centric. And so part of what Chris's role based in Europe is to help us think and act more like a global citizen. And I consider myself a global citizen, having traveled much of the world in my career. And I know that the first mile and the last mile really matter when you're a global organization. So, Chris, share some of the insights on how you think we can best provide a global perspective and sort of the thinking around how we can resource for our community better.
Absolutely, David. So, first of all, as far as our global strategy is concerned, I strongly believe that it is in practice a sum of several different regional strategies, meaning that if an organization really wants to innovate, as Isaka is, needs to, first of all, identify the need, the specific need in a region, in a specific country, and then make sure that the appropriate solution to that need for an individual, for an organization is in place in order to address it. So many say that innovation is something new, and it's certainly something new, but it's always about solving, addressing a particular need, about solving a particular problem. So our global strategy certainly has to do with putting more focus on the regions. It certainly has to do with being able to mobilize even further our global community, because we are very, very lucky as an association to have such a passionate community of members and volunteers from all around the world, which introduces diversity to Isaka. It introduces different thinking, and it certainly introduces innovation in anything that we build, because what we build is through the contribution of that global community. So I'm looking forward to working with our people, our volunteers, our members from all around the world into really making a difference, into making an impact globally. And of course, this always relates to the professions that we serve. And if you really take a step back and see where Isaka is coming from, we are a 50-year-old association which started with assurance, with the audit profession, the IT audit profession. And subsequently, we have progressed into building good practice, knowledge, credentials for the cybersecurity profession, the risk profession, governance of enterprise IT, privacy, and more recently in emerging technologies and into more, let's say, younger generation that wishes to enter those the IT profession as a whole. So if you put all of those together, one can realize the unique position of Isaka into being able to see more holistically into issues to be resolved, into being able to be more effective and more efficient when it comes to serving those professions.
It's so true. And I think, you know, one of the things that binds us together, whether it's across the states in America or across the world with countries that are represented, is our passion and our commitment to trust in technology. You know, we're digital trust professionals in all of these professions, and it's important that we have always sort of innovated because of that. Because we're practitioners everywhere in the world, we learn from one another. And I think one of the things that was most important to me about Chris joining is to listen better, to be able to have representation outside the U.S. as well as continue to do the kinds of things we do with our chapters in the U.S. and elsewhere, just increase the frequency of our interactivity and our interaction. COVID has been, you know, incredibly difficult on connections. And at the same time, with technologies like this, we're able to really connect in some ways better because it's more frictionless. You don't have to get on an airplane. You don't have to show up at conferences. And a good example is we have more than 25 countries represented here. And, you know, we have new members. So I think Al is a brand new member, only 2 months, Al, I think. And so it's important that we can just spin up a conversation and share some of our thinking. So, Chris, tell the team here some of the priorities you think over the next 12 to 18 months. And how do you think those priorities are going to benefit all members, you know, not just members outside the U.S., but everywhere as we connect our global strategy?
Priority number one is to make sure that we enable our chapters further, because at the end of the day, our chapters are more or less our local operations. They are the bodies, the entities that really understand the pulse, the trends, what's really going on in that specific region, which are the opportunities to be exploited, and which are the concerns to be addressed. So certainly mobilizing this powerful community of chapters is certainly one of our priorities. And by mobilizing, I don't mean just giving, you know, strategic directions, but primarily, as you very well said, David, listening, understanding the real needs of the country, of the region, and then getting back with more support and more solutions jointly for addressing the needs of our global community. So that's priority number one. Priority number two is to make sure that we innovate. I spoke a little bit, and you spoke primarily for as far as digital trust is concerned. I spoke a little bit about the several different professions. I strongly believe, and we strongly believe, that we need to answer the right questions in terms of the priorities that we set. Questions like, what makes a great auditor? What makes a great cybersecurity professional? What grades a great IT professional? And how we can differentiate those individuals in order to promote their careers and in order for them to be able to support their organizations better. And we realize that, as in many other professions, becoming, first of all, an expert in your field by having firsthand knowledge of all of the trends and the emerging technologies, but at the same time becoming a generalist by getting content from the several different adjacent professions is very, very important. Because one, at the end of the day, cannot really implement cybersecurity without a great assurance program. One cannot really implement assurance to have a successful audit program without a great risk management methodology. One cannot really implement a successful project, digital transformation project, without making sure that cybersecurity and privacy risk are embedded within the whole project life cycle. So this cross-fertilization of content, this correlation and the convergence between all of those professions is really, really important in order to help us think differently. Because on the one hand, we see the trend, and the trend is about the more rapid adoption of digital technologies in order to support the global economy and local economies as well. And on the other hand, we see an expanding cyber threat landscape. We see an expanding set of risks. So bottom line, I believe that we should lead thinking differently and providing more innovative tools and solutions to the global business community in order to create trusted digital ecosystems.
Yeah, I think there isn't a more important time for ISACA. I mean, we're 50 years old, but the next 50 years, we're going to help shape that trust landscape in ways that we have always been doing. And if you go to one of our conferences or whenever I meet members around the world when we could travel, you often saw the collaboration between these roles. And for me, and Chris and I have spent many hours talking about this, it's an opportunity that's ours to amplify. And so part of what we're going to be doing is making sure that we can amplify in your regions and around the world so that people know that we're at the table, that we're ready for the conversations, and that we're shaping and controlling some of the narrative. So very exciting time, and really pleased to have Chris joining us. Chris, you have an interesting career background. Talk a little bit about your professional background and how that helps you with some of the things that we're trying to do together.
So I studied cybersecurity. That's what my PhD is about. It was about 4G, cybersecurity in 4G networks.
It's already so 5G ago, right?
right. It's a little bit outdated, but the principles are still relevant, though. And a little bit about biometrics. I started working as a security consultant. Then I became a security officer for a global company, Intralot, that is building lottery systems all around the world. Then I started to realize that in order to be a good cybersecurity professional, I really needed to primarily understand the business. I mean, I had a good amount of knowledge. Of course, I kept learning, and I keep learning as I speak. But I really realized that I first need to understand what I need to protect much, much better in terms of the business, in terms of the P&L of the company, what drives its financial success, and so on, in order to be able to communicate, to convey the cybersecurity message more effectively within the organization. Interestingly, this gave me the opportunity to become, to change roles at this company. I became responsible for all the technology services. Then I became a CTO for the company, and eventually the CEO of the group of companies, leading to some sort of, let's say, unorthodox approach, because it's sometimes surprising for a security officer to become a CEO of a global company with presence in 50 countries around the world. So all in all, my lessons learned from this experience is that, as I said, you certainly need to have the vertical expertise that helped me very, very much throughout my career. It made me more or less an authority within the company as cybersecurity was concerned. But at the same time, it's hugely important to be able to speak the business language and to really align the cybersecurity strategy with the business. And that's more easily said than done, because if cybersecurity is not a revenue generator for an organization, it's sometimes very, very hard to implement a cybersecurity framework, or if that organization doesn't operate in a highly regulated industry. So all in all, and this is my advice to the younger generation as well, be an expert in your field, but at the same time, you know, widen your knowledge, make sure that you understand the business, you speak business in order to be successful in your more technology, let's say, profession.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we're really embracing is the, you know, we're a member organization. So as individuals, you join us and hopefully you're always learning and you're creating, you know, that we're helping you create just-in-time knowledge and the right certifications and the right support. But you're also, like Chris was, leaders at your workplace. And that is important. And so the work we do with frameworks and organizational assessments and helping you determine how your company is doing and stacks against others is an important benefit from my perspective, from an ISACA point of view. And I think, Chris, your story sort of underscores that. I'm very excited about the kind of the direction that we're going in the next year. It's such an important time for ISACA. And I mentioned a couple of those. One is this concept of always learning, that we as professionals and as leaders at work need to be always learning. And I think it's different, you know, sometimes the context matters. And so how you learn in one part of the world might be different than other parts of the world, but we're all sort of adults learning at busy times in our lives when we're also managing our careers. So those are things that we're thinking deeply about how we can get better at. We also want to have a global impact. So we want to make sure that we continue to connect the dots between, you know, the powerful representation we have all over the world. And so I think that that creates a very important objective for us. And then this concept of trust, you know, that we want to basically nurture all of these professions, and the common denominator is really digital trust. And so it's an exciting time for us to think about how we navigate that. So we have a question from Kyle, and he's a budding cybersecurity professional. So where's the best source of threat information, Chris?
So I wish there was a single response for that. Usually you have to combine several different sources from those information sharing centers around the world, vulnerability lists, but also lessons learned as far as industry specific attacks and vulnerabilities, because many times you have to go vertical into your industry in order to figure out what's most relevant to you. Certainly, I would access the computer emergency response team sites in your region. I will certainly also be kept involved with the ISACA community around cybersecurity, where we have some vertical discussions as well on top of the generic ones. And I would also make sure that I cooperate with my peers from companies from the same industry. Even if they are competitors, there is certainly a common ground for you to exchange information and understand a little bit more the threat intelligence in your industry. Many, many reports. Maybe we can share a few sites with you after we end this conversation.
Yeah, I also want to give a shout out to Mohammed, who said security isn't revenue generating, but it does protect you the revenue that you're going to generate. And it's so true. At this point in our digital lives, all of us are connected to devices globally. And it's very important for us to sustain what we're doing. You know, one breach can put a small business out of business. And that's how important it is for us to do our job. So Tiffany had a question. How does ISACA stay ahead of the shift? Are members exposed to competitive avenues? Think DEF CON.
Absolutely. I mean, our members, as far as we know, they are part of several different organizations. And we also encourage that in order to be more, to be able to get, let's say, more diverse opinions and more knowledge from organizations around ISACA. What we're trying to do currently is to make sure that our community also hosts events similar to and discussions similar to what you put in your question, Tiffany, in order to make sure that we have as much diversity and cross-fertilization of content as we come from several different organizations from around the world.
And, you know, we're trying to improve. We've just done a big digital transformation and improving our ability to access our body of knowledge so that we can make it more accessible to you as members and more at your fingertips. And we've undergone a huge transformation to be more modern in our technology. And every company is going through, I think digital transformation is on many, many companies' lists because we had to move into the digital space because of COVID. And so while that has some growing pains, I think that it's so important that we are modern and can respond. So there's lots of resources on our website. Sometimes it's hard to find, but you should always reach out and search for the kinds of supports that are going to make you better. We're not going to have time to get to all of your questions, but hopefully someone on the staff can reach out to you if they have particular ideas. And I'm grateful to all of you who are members and certificate holders and trusting us in making sure that we stay globally connected and relevant and trusted and valuable as we move into the future. So thanks for taking time today from all over the world. I saw countries just all over the world. It's one of the great things about this LinkedIn platform and ISACA Live is just to connect like this around the world. So we're doing this more regularly. So Chris, thanks for taking some time out of your busy day or evening or night. and we look forward to seeing all of you in person as soon as we can and connecting again. So thanks for joining us today. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.